Next, Dr. Tim Breedy of the Queensland Brain Institute describes his research into the brain pathways of fear memory. Remarkable experiments in the rat laboratory suggest promising treatments for conditions such as debilitating anxiety and post-traumatic stress disorder. Mick Cavazzini reports.
Among the waves of veterans returning from war zones in Iraq and Afghanistan, up to a quarter will demonstrate the crippling effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. Imagine some innocuous event in your daily life, such as the sound of a car backfiring, suddenly throwing you into a state of panic. Your pulse races, your hairs stand on end, and you're overcome by nightmarish flashbacks. PTSD originates from events that involve physical or emotional trauma. It is widely diagnosed not just among war veterans, but also victims of abuse or of horrifying natural disasters. Although the symptoms may take months to emerge, they can persist for a person's lifetime if no therapy is undertaken. Normally, the memories of a fearful event stimulate us to prepare for dangerous situations that might reoccur, a classic adrenaline rush that can increase our chances of escape from a predator. But in the case of anxiety disorders such as PTSD, the mere suggestion of the original stressor causes the body to enter this fight or flight mode, however inappropriate to the current scenario. The brain pathways involved in fear memory can be studied experimentally by observing rat behaviour. Although rats can't tell us what emotions they're feeling, they freeze in fear when they experience an alarming stimulus, such as a mild electric shock from the floor of the testing cage. When this foot shock is paired a number of times with a neutral stimulus, like an auditory tone, the rat learns that one predicts the other. I asked Dr. Timothy Breedy, a neuroscientist at the Queensland Brain Institute, to describe this fear conditioning model in more detail.
That contingent pairing of the sound and the foot shock results in a fear response, which, interestingly enough, can incubate and sensitize over time, very similar to what happens in people with phobia. A single tone shock or a tone foot shock pairing can actually be present in the animal for the entire lifetime, and the animal will still show a behavioral defensive response when you present them with that sound again at a later time.
In these conditioning experiments, the shock stimulus and the sound stimulus initially activate different sensory pathways, but the inputs eventually converge onto a number of brain centers so that the two stimuli become associated into a single memory pattern. In an everyday example of associative memory, you might find that the smell of baking bread evokes childhood memories of your grandmother's living room. This one cue activates the entire pattern of sensory associations that were encoded, live with images and sounds. In anxiety disorders, however, the highly charged physiological and emotional sensations dominate this pattern and are recalled with vivid intensity at later times. But fortunately for sufferers, the powerful mental association between the contextual cues and the feelings of fear can sometimes be broken by so-called extinction training.
The extinction of conditioned fear is what we call an explicit model for the treatment of fear-related anxiety disorders. So in a doctor's clinic, it's also known as exposure therapy. And that's basically repeated exposure to the aversive stimulus, that sound, but without an aversive consequence, without negative consequence. So there's no shock anymore. So the animal just hears the sound repeatedly over time, and after a while they learn that the sound doesn't predict a negative consequence, and subsequently their fear response diminishes over time.
While the term extinction suggests that the fear memory is being erased or overwritten, this is in fact not the case. The sensations of fear depend first on an ancient brain center called the amygdala, and conditioned memories are encoded in its projections to the prefrontal cortex. This region is a more recently evolved higher brain center said to be responsible for decision-making. Dr. Breedy and others have found that extinction memory is recorded in parallel brain pathways between subregions of the amygdala and prefrontal cortex, suggesting that you really do have to learn to forget that a stimulus ever predicted danger in the first place. In order to dissect the role of these pathways, Dr. Breedy and his colleague Mark Barad used a drug called sodium valproate, which targets a very specific group of enzymes involved in DNA folding. The drug enhances the expression of genes that support learning, but only in those brain cells that are activated by the training conditions.
So what you have are two competing anatomical pathways. One supports fear, one supports extinction. And these two are constantly competing with one another to control behavior. So what we did was we injected the sodium valproate into the gut of the animal 2 hours prior to any learning. And then we gave them a very, very basic extinction training protocol, which normally induces no long-term extinction. What you would see a week later normally is just no extinction memory. The animals would freeze the exact same way, or they'd show the same fear response as if they had never received any extinction training. But training in the presence of sodium valproate actually led to a persistent decrease in the fear response. The animal's extinction memory was strengthened.
This result provides great hope for human sufferers of anxiety disorders undergoing exposure therapy. For treating post-traumatic stress disorder, at least 10 appointments with a therapist are typically required. But this expensive and stressful process is successful in only 50% of patients. Dr. Breedy's research on extinction training in rats suggests that effective treatment outcomes in humans might be achieved by milder and shorter therapy regimes combined with a drug such as sodium valproate.
What happens in the doctor's office is the doctor asks the person with the phobia or the stress disorder to remember those fear-evoking moments. And when that happens, the brain goes through a process called reconsolidation, where the memory for fear actually temporarily becomes destabilized. But what we could do in the doctor's office is reactivate the memory, give the compound, and then begin the extinction process. So you not only do you destabilize the original fear, but then you start the learning of the neutral consequences of the memory, and that will serve to strengthen the therapeutic outcome of exposure therapy.
The low dosages of sodium valproate used in Dr. Breedy's study bode well for the drug's potential safety in human patients. In fact, sodium valproate is already clinically approved as an anticonvulsant, so it might not be too long before it is taken up in clinical trials combined with cognitive therapy. Dr. Breedy's continuing research is expected to demonstrate how memory can be dissected even further by drugs precisely targeting different neural pathways. He reviews recent advances in this field in the April issue of the journal Neurobiology of Learning and Memory. I'm Mick Cavacini for Diffusion on 2SER.